is all good stuff. You know, sometimes I get to share messages that are tough. But this is all about being blessed. And I don't know about you, I need that encouragement, right? We need to know that we are incredibly blessed no matter what is going on in our lives. And this passage from the Beatitudes is so beautiful and so helpful in understanding what Jesus considers to be a blessing. So yesterday, some of you were able to come and hear a vision for tomorrow, for this next year through 2020. And we want to share it with all of you. We'll figure out a time since today doesn't work for you. But to share the vision and the excitement that God has put on our hearts as a leadership team to go into the future, to move into our new facility, to make it our own, and the opportunities that are there to pick up a paintbrush or simply encourage, sit and encourage and talk. And, you know, everybody is invited to use, you know, whatever they have to offer to be part of this. We are blessed. We are tremendously blessed by what is happening in our church and with everything that we get to do for God. So that's the first thing I wanted to bring to you, is knowing that we are blessed. So this passage, which is all about blessings, is the beginning of a passage I think most of you know. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And it's three chapters in Matthew that contain immense wisdom. You could spend years just on these passages. And this is in the book of Matthew, who was the tax collector, right? And the structure of his book is stories about Jesus' life and activities, plus the five sermons. It's widely thought to have been written specifically, at first at least, for Jewish people, because Matthew knew they needed understanding, and he wanted to help them understand the good news about Jesus. This is the first sermon, and it's a description of what heaven is going to look like, the kingdom of heaven. And in Galilee, there is a place that if you go to the Holy Land, they will take you, and it's called the Mount of Beatitudes. Whether it's the actual Mount of Beatitudes, they can't be 100% sure, but it's pretty close to where it is. And I had the privilege of going there, 15 years ago. And it's this beautiful hill. And when you sit on that hill, I'm not even sure they let you do it anymore, but when I had the opportunity to sit on the hill and picture Christ preaching, in the backdrop is this huge, huge lake. You know, it's called the Sea of Galilee, but it's a lake. But it's massive, and there are mountains in the background. And just picturing Jesus there with people surrounding him on that hill and sharing these words that they were so hungry to hear was a magnificent experience. In chapter 4, verses 23 to 25, which precedes this, it says this: "And he went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every infirmity among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis and Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan." So picture what's been going on. Picture who's in that crowd. People in desperate need of good news. Desperate need of healing. You know, when we think we might not welcome this kind of person in a church, well, that's not the way Jesus would be. And I love that this church is welcoming and all can come in the door and be loved. It should be that way with every church. So it says, you know, seeing the crowds, he went to the top of the mountain and sat down. And this was what a Jewish teacher would do. This was not unusual. He would sit, and that was a signal. I'm going to teach. I have something to say that you need to learn. This message is focused on discipleship, training those who've already committed to Christ, while inviting those who haven't yet made the decision to do so. Disciples here doesn't mean the 12. Okay, the disciples are those that are interested in learning. Another word is apprentice for disciple. So these are people that are curious and want to know more about this Jesus that they've heard about. There are 8 Beatitudes. The last two, if you're counting, the last two are usually combined. So that's why we get 8. And a beatitude is something that means extreme, supreme blessedness. I like that kind of blessing. Supreme blessedness. The Greek word for blessed is a state of existence in relationship to God in which a person is blessed, now this is important, from God's perspective, even when he or she doesn't feel happy, even when he or she is not feeling good fortune. This doesn't mean a conferral of blessing or an exhortation to live a life worthy of blessing. Rather, it's an acknowledgement that the ones indicated are blessed. Right? This is saying you are blessed whether you feel it or not. Negative feelings, absence of feelings, adverse conditions cannot take away your blessings. Can't take them away. The first one, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's really important to understand that the word for poor here is the word in Greek that indicates the most extreme sense of brokenness that there could be. Broken. So that you just dirt on the floor. That kind of brokenness. Feeling no hope. Feeling despair. Poor in spirit. People who are oppressed, disillusioned, and in need of God's help. And he says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Why would that be? Because the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who know they have no resources, they have no material or spiritual wealth to help themselves go to God. They understand that they need God at a level that people who are not broken never understand. And this is in a context where it was believed that if you were blessed, was the teaching of the time, if you were blessed, that meant that you were wealthy, that you had children, and there all these things that, oh, you're blessed, and if you're ill, you're not blessed. And Jesus says, not so. Not so. I have a niece who several years ago went through a really, really, really tough time. And this is what she posted on Facebook. Listen to this. Because this, for me, is what it is to be broken. She said, first, I have to fear for my life. When it was discovered I had a tumor that almost killed me, my grandma passed away. I feared the life of my family when we got into an accident. Hurricane Harvey hit. She lives in Texas. I had to fear for the life and health of a dear family member. Our cat was murdered, and now my beloved nephew passed. When does this stop, God? I'm losing my hope and faith. My heart is broken. I feel empty and depressed inside. Jesus says, and I let her know this because she reached out, that she is blessed in spite of all of that. Why? Because it's only through suffering that we draw so close to God. The teaching of the religious leaders was that the rich in spirit would be blessed. And Jesus says, not so. The norm of the kingdom of heaven is spiritual bankruptcy. The second beatitude, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 7, it says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. Even when we are weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. We are confident that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in the comfort God gives us. Wow. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The domineering, the aggressive, the harsh, and the tyrannical are often those who attempt to dominate the earth, yes? And establish their own little kingdoms. We can think of people like that, that try really hard to do that. But Jesus says that it's the gentle, the meek, that will inherit the earth. Inherit the earth. Not ruling over the earth of today, but ruling with Christ in the earthly kingdom of God. Gentle. Jesus is our best example of gentle. He wasn't a doormat. He wasn't a doormat. He confronted when it was necessary. He's not meek and mild all the time, but he's gentle. Everything is done with love. Everything. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. So my question for you is, how much do you long for righteousness? I've been compelled this week. I've been reading quite a bit in the Psalms and reading about David and how he just writes out his heart of longing for God, longing to be with God, longing to go into the temple of his courts. And I'm thinking, how much do we long for that? Do we even think about it? Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness desire to see justice executed on the earth. They long to experience a deeper ethical righteousness in their own lives. And most of all, they crave God's promised salvation for the whole earth. They are in such dire need for it, they will perish without it. Is that within us? Is that within us? They shall be satisfied, which means filled. The divine satisfaction will come in a final sense in God's future reign, but it will be experienced in the present by those who respond to Jesus' invitation to kingdom life here and enter into relationship with him as he fills our deepest personal hunger and thirst for righteousness. So again, when was the last time we were that desperate for God? How do we allow him to fill us? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The merciful are those who demonstrate forgiveness toward the guilty and kindness for the hurting and needy. The religious leaders of Jesus' day were not merciful when the people did not follow the letter of the law. Instead, they were harsh and unforgiving. In Micah 6:8, very, very familiar verse, he has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Obtain mercy. When we have a heart of mercy towards others, then we also have a heart towards receiving mercy from Christ. And we understand our need for it. So my question is, who needs your mercy today? Is there someone that you know would be blessed through your mercy given? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Purity and cleanness were important things in Jesus' day. It was a very strong religious theme. Observing all of the Old Testament laws of being clean could bypass the most important thing of all. And that's purity of heart. Can you do actions and not be right in your heart? Yeah, we all can. Jesus declares here that a pure heart is what produces external purity, not vice versa. And in Psalm 51:10, it says, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me." It's an undivided loyalty to God and His ways. For those who have set their heart on God and not simply ritual and religion, and who respond to Jesus' message of the gospel of the kingdom, they are invited to enter into a fellowship in which they will experience the unthinkable. They will see God in Jesus. As we dedicate our lives to Christ, all of our lives, we experience more and more of Him. Is that true? The more that you are involved in living out the gospel, do you not feel God closer to you? I do. His Spirit dwells in us and we begin to understand the miracle of who He is. We see Him. So does God. So do we see God. And so do others see Christ in us. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. It indicates completeness and wholeness in every area of life, including one's relationship with God, neighbors, and nations. It's interesting. Way back when I was going through a really, really tough time in my former church and just making the decision that it was time to leave, and it was really, really tough, I had a moment where I thought, it's time, and it nearly killed me. It was really hard to leave, but I knew God was asking me to leave. And as I made the decision I was meeting with someone, and I said, yeah, this is the right thing. He agreed. He left my office, and I thought, I don't know what to do. Because I'm thinking, I'm going to quit this job, and I've got nothing to fall back on. I'm walking out in faith. You know, I do this from time to time. But this was so hard. This was so, so hard. I thought, oh my gosh, can I have any peace in this? And I thought, you know what? I don't know about you. When I don't know what to do, I do what I know. You ever live by that? Just do something that you know when you don't know what to do, right? Get busy doing a task. So I thought, okay, I'll open my email. And I went to my email, and I had an email, you know, address, and I went, oh no, I can't handle this guy today. And this was a guy that I had been in conflict with over the years. Not terrible, we didn't fight. They're just, you know, there's certain people you just don't quite get along with. And so I'm thinking, oh, what does he want? That's terrible. Pastors aren't supposed to think that way. But, you know, I'm human. I admit it. So I open the email, and, you know, I'll name him. He's fine with it. His name is Bert. And he said, I don't understand why I need to send you this email, but I sense that I am supposed to send it, even though I know you know this verse. I'm supposed to send it to you right now. You know what the verse was? Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you. Right? You've heard this? Says the Lord. Plans to prosper and not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And the word for prosper there is more accurately to give you peace. The word in the Hebrew is shalom. To shalom you. And I was like, whoa. Gives me chills even now talking about it. It was so clearly from God. And it's like, oh, Bert was a peacemaker. He helped bring God's peace to my heart. And my heart changed towards him. And I shared with him, because he didn't know yet what I was going to do. And I shared with him when I saw him and thanked him. Blessed are those that bring shalom to their families, the other people in their lives, and to their community and world. And so how can we bring shalom to Orange and to Warwick? How can we do that? Because we're called to be peacemakers. How can we bring shalom to our homes, to our jobs, to wherever we go? It says they shall be called sons of God. Those who respond to Jesus' ministry are heirs of the kingdom and reflect the character of their Heavenly Father as they carry Jesus' mission of peacemaking into the world. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When was the last time you were persecuted because you are bringing rightness to the world around you? If you're not being persecuted, is it possible that we're not working hard enough to bring Christ's kingdom onto earth? Jesus promises that those who work for rightness will be the ones to experience and inherit the fullness of his kingdom, not those who are about their own agendas, their own righteousness, like the Pharisees, which his hearers all knew. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad. Can you do that? I mean, it's like, okay, I'm going to rejoice when they're saying awful things about me. But that's what Jesus says. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so men persecuted the prophets who were before you. Notice the change of tense from the third person, those, to second person, you. This last blessing is giving instruction about the one before it, teaching about what the persecution may look like, and expanding on the promise of being given keys to the kingdom of heaven. I love this passage from Romans 12 because it's so hard to live by, and yet it's so worth it. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. That's easy. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. I used to have that on my refrigerator because I needed to remember it. I needed to really commit that to my everyday living, that passage right there. And I may have shared before, I don't remember. This is good, I've been here 2 years, I'm starting maybe to repeat myself. But there was a woman that was a big part of my spiritual journey, and she knew more about the Holy Spirit than any person I've ever known in my life. And she was just a great mentor. And she was teaching a group of us ladies about this idea, a blessing. And she said, the important thing is not to curse. She said, you may not feel the blessing yet, but not to curse. So I'll give you a very practical challenge. This is a fun one. So how many of you, no, don't raise your hand, I don't want to know. How many of you, when you're driving down the road and somebody cuts you off, think or say something very closely related to a curse? Don't raise your hand. Okay, so I know lots of people, even me, from time to time. And this was the way I practiced this verse. Every time that happens, bless them. Bless them. Zoanne said, this is what I do. I say, bless them, bless them, bless them, bless them, until I can mean it. Right? And it's amazing what it does for your heart when you're not allowing that into your heart, that curse, on somebody else. There's your challenge, and I'm sure it's going to come back to haunt you. Because it does me. It does me. Rejoice and be glad, it says. To rejoice exceedingly. It's the same word as the angels singing at Christ's birth. That's how much we're supposed to rejoice when we're being persecuted. James 1:2 says, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy. Had a woman that I worked with years ago, she would say, count it all joy, Mary, count it all joy. And I'm like, yeah, sure, sure. Count it all joy when you're suffering, whether from loss of material things, whether from illness, whether from loss of someone dear to you, whether you're feeling far from God. God never leaves us, ever. Ever we leave Him. Count it all joy because you don't go through it alone. The joy is not because you're happy about the circumstance. No, it's not that. The joy is because you know that God loves you and that God is with you. Jesus says, lo, I will be with you always. And that's a promise. Have a gentle spirit. Let those around you long to be with you, because when they are, they can breathe. Be hungry for Christ. Be desperate to bring His justice to lives around you and around the world, to bring His peace and His shalom. Show mercy to others. Don't be about what they deserve. Be about showing God's mercy, because we have received His mercy and we didn't deserve it. Comfort others with the comfort you've been given. Know that following Christ, and this is important, is going to cause trouble for you. It's a promise in Scripture. We think that it's just this crazy thought that when you accept Christ, when you're a Christian, it's all joy. Well, it's joy in knowing that God is with you. That doesn't mean it's easy. Doesn't mean that. Jesus promises we will have trouble. If you're not having trouble, maybe we need to stretch a little bit so that we're living out that calling. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Not will overcome. He has already overcome the world for us. And truly because of that, guess what? We are blessed. We are blessed. Would you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, in just a few verses, 12 verses, Lord, you give us a way to live, that we taste your kingdom here on earth, and that we get to be part of it. And so, Lord, I pray that for each one here, whatever part of this message you have for them, that it would touch their hearts and that they would leave changed and leave joyful, knowing that they are blessed. Lord, thank you for this day and the privilege we have of living in your kingdom, both now and in the days to come. It's in your name we pray. Amen.